From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carol Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. It was one of those weeks when there was such a lot of serious issues in the news, such contention, even anger, that more than anything, you really feel you need a hug. Well, we have got just the monster to give it to you. Elmo of Sesame Street will be joining us right here to play Not My Job. That's right, Elmo on this show. And we're pretty excited, not least because it's good for a comedy show, every once in a while, to spend some time with somebody who will laugh at absolutely anything. Right now, let's see what kind of humor you're in. Give us a call, answer our questions about the week's news, and win the most valuable prize in public radio, Carl's voice on your home answering machine. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Bill from Star, Idaho.
Star, Idaho? I've never heard of that place. What do you do there in Star?
Both my wife and I work full-time. She works in a hospital. I work at a water treatment facility, and we have a hobby of growing table grapes. We have about 2,500 plants here now.
Oh, really? And what do you do with your table grapes?
We put them on the table.
Of course.
No,
in attractive still life.
So. A lot of people would say, geez, you invite us over when you crack your first bottle of wine, but no, these are table grapes. They're succulent and flavorful, and they don't taste bitter like wine grapes. Look for them on a table near you.
Well, welcome to the show, Bill.
Thank you.
Now, let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, say hello to a writer for the Boston Globe magazine and author of the forthcoming book, Moving the Chains, Tom Brady and the Pursuit of Everything, Mr. Charlie Pierce.
Hi, Charlie.
Hi, Bill.
Also say hello to writer and journalist Ms. Sue Ellicott.
Hi, Sue.
Hello. Would you be able to settle a little issue that I have in my home, that when somebody goes up to the fruit bowl and wants to pull off a grape, I say that it's not okay to pull off these little individual grapes and leave all those little tiny sort of little stem things sticking all over the bunch of grapes. If you want a grape, you have to pull off a little section to leave the rest of it looking neat and tidy in the fruit bowl. And this drives the rest of my family completely nuts.
Just take the whole bunch and just eat them like the Romans used to.
Exactly. Also say hello to a humorist and author most recently of Norman Tuttle on the Last Frontier, Mr. Tom Baudet.
Yay.
Hello, Bill. How are you doing?
Hey, well.
Bill, welcome to the show. Now, we've got a brand new game for you today. We were looking at the new fall TV series, and we wondered why the writers keep trying to invent stuff when the real world is dramatic enough.
Yeah.
So we've come up with three ads for new TV shows based on stories in the week's news. Figure out what news story these made-up shows are based on. Do it 2 times out of 3, you'll win our prize. Ready to play?
Ready to play.
All right. We're handing the remote to Carl, so flip away, my man.
From the people who brought you CSI, CSI Miami, and CSI New York comes NIE Baghdad. The forensics have all been collected, the evidence analyzed, and the conclusion appears to be that the invasion created more terrorists. But when a maverick with his own unique approach looks over the evidence, all he sees is butts being kicked. It's a story of intelligence, and intelligence on NIE, Baghdad.
So who is this man who just didn't see what was so alarming in the National Intelligence Estimate, or NIE?
The president?
Yes, the president.
Oh,
last weekend, the New York Times, some other papers, ran stories about a classified national intelligence estimate that said the Iraq war had made terrorism much worse. The Bush administration said that's wrong, and the president himself, not without some griping, declassified parts of that estimate. But even though the NIE states that the Iraq war has inspired uncounted numbers of jihadists, President Bush said that to think the war has made people hate us is, quote, naive. His message to us. My administration doesn't want you to believe everything you read, especially if my administration wrote it.
Yeah.
Don't you get the feeling that there are people in the CIA at this point who are just saying, screw it, let's just send them a Chinese menu?
Yeah.
What the hell? Yeah. Why are we doing all this work? It's Miller time.
They're counting the days on their pension plan. That's it.
Well, I mean, I can understand his confusion because, for example, one of the lines in the NIE summary that was released was that the jihadists see the Iraq War as their cause celeb. And I'm like, that sounds pretty festive. how could that be bad?
And how come French got back into American documents anyway?
Yeah. How can we trust this when it has French words in it? That's another problem. I'm with the president on this. All right, Carl, what's next up on the tube?
Three guys, three crazy countries, one room. Watch the body language when an odd trio of world leaders gets together to break bread. And maybe some White House china, too. It's a rollicking, crazy dinner party. Tune in for the funniest summit since Bozo climbed Everest. It's where the kisses are his and his and his.
Who attended this awkward dinner party with President Bush this week?
It would be President Bush, the president of Pakistan, and the president of Afghanistan.
Yes, thank you. We'll take it. Very good. Hamid Karzai and Pervez Musharraf, to be specific, the leaders of Afghanistan and Pakistan, have both been in the U.S. It's been really fun just to see how much they hate each other.
Not only that, but we missed on the title, Peter. You had Karzai and Musharraf and Bush.
Yeah.
It's got to be 2.5 presidents.
Musharraf even called Karzai, quote, an ostrich. It's true. So the president had them both to
Duty
dinner.
Duty head got taken
I
by someone
so.
Else.
The president had them both to dinner on Wednesday night, an event that was closed to the press, though observers noted that the flounder Almandine did somehow end up all over Karzai's hat, and that Musharraf was sent back to his nation's embassy without dessert.
An ostrich?
An ostrich. I believe the phrase is he's an ostrich with his head in the sand, you know. Yeah. And it's not a good thing.
No, I think it was Laura had to lead Musharraf off by the ear to get him out of the room.
Pervez needs a timeout.
Carl, let's see what else is on the tube.
He was forced to flee from public life by scandal and term limits. Forced to move from town to town, collecting huge speaker's fees, going to swank parties and raising money for charity. But finally, his rage is unleashed. This fall, from the creators of The Fugitive and The Incredible Hulk, comes the story of a man ready to poke his finger into the chest of the entire world.
So what public figure finally stopped playing nice this week?
Would that be Bubba?
Yes!
President
Clinton. The attack of the Clinton began, of course, with a now famous interview on Fox News last Sunday, when the former president reacted angrily to the suggestion that he hadn't done enough to get Osama bin Laden. Clinton told interviewer Chris Wallace that at least he tried to kill bin Laden, unlike some other presidents he could think of, like one whose name rhymes with forged tush. Bush didn't say anything in response, but he sent out somebody tougher than he is, namely Condoleezza Rice, to argue that Clinton was wrong, that the Bush administration from day one has been doing a brilliant job of catching Osama bin Laden for 6 years now and counting. Carl, how did Bill do in our quiz?
Bill did very well, Peter. He had 3 correct answers. So, Bill, I'll be doing the message on your home answering machine.
Well done, Bill. Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to it.